doing? 1, 2, 3. Okay, we're still early, eh? I thought I was late. So we still got 5 minutes, eh? Don't worry. So we welcome Joyce, who is back from her Turkey trip. So today you all saw, she sent out this beautiful image of Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Yes, you can see it on the whiteboard. Somebody scanned it. Good. So those who are going to Anandagiri next time, you will be able to pay respect to that Kuan Yin Bodhisattva statue. It was very nicely done, elegantly, from China. Putian. Putian is where? Oh, Xiamen. Yeah, China. Correct, it's China. This 20th to 26th, we are going to Taiwan. I will bring a group of about 20 plus Kayanamita for a spiritual camp. You call it leisure trip. But the main purpose is to visit the three great Mahayana tradition of Taiwan. You heard of Ciji, right? Ciji is one of them. That one is in Hualien. Then there's this what they call Fo Guang San. That one is by Singing Fasi. That one also very famous for Buddhist education or Buddhist what they call training. If you want to develop Dhamma understanding, then Fo Guang San is the place. Whereas Ciji is direct compassion in action. Then after that, you learn the Dhamma. So this one, Fo Guang, is like a institution where you can really develop the understanding of the teaching. Then after that, they also develop meditation. Then they also do a lot of wholesomeness. Then last one is the Fa Ku San. You have heard of this? Dhamma Mountain. This one is by the late Sun Yen Fasi. He passed away already. So he is famous for meditation. So you want to develop real Zen, that is the place to be. So you combine the three great traditions, you will have the complete training. So not only you study the Dhamma or Sutta, you develop meditation after understanding the Sutta. Then after that, you go out into the world and to be a blessing to all. So that's why the three traditions embodies the whole essence of the Buddhist tradition. So in a way, it is going to be a very good trip. So as Kayanamita, you don't worry. We have actually make use of both the Kayanamita Fund, Tuesday class and Thursday class, to donate towards whatever wholesomeness that we are going to do over there. We donated 1,000 ringgit from each of the fund. So you all also get to participate. We rejoice. Sadhu. So these are very rare condition and opportunity to perform wholesomeness. Actually, I had this intention to visit Taiwan 1 or 2 years back. But somehow, we have to wait till this year. Then later, I come to realize there is a reason for it. The sign came early, but then somehow, we delayed the trip until this year. Then we managed to actually tie up a lot of things. So it's going to be beautiful. Yeah. So the Dhamma Drum Mountain is in Taipei itself, whereas Phổ Quang is in Kaohsiung. So we are going to do a full round trip of the whole of Taiwan. Then I was told Taiwan now is very different. The place is very clean, very beautiful. People are very friendly. It's very different from the Taiwan of the early days. So that is about all. Oh, 8:30 plus a little bit. We can start. Okay, we will do the puja. So you compose your mind, develop your spiritual faculty, sadhau. Then you pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. After that, we will do the puja. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānātipātā vairamaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Adina dana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kame sumichachara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Surame raya macha pamadatana. Viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Kepo, pay homage mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we can start. Sisters in the Dhamma. So tonight, as usual, there is nobody new. Everybody here before. So by now, I think all of you should have read the transcript, understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Then you would have developed some good understanding of what this meditation is all about. So tonight, I think we are going to start straight away. So for those who already know how to meditate, straight away you can silence your mind, then develop the mindfulness to meditate. For those who still need to train their mind, you can Thank you. Zen, off the light. It's okay. Yeah, off the light. If you need to train your mind, if you feel that your mind still got a lot of restlessness, thought, hindrance, and you are not peaceful, means your mind is still not trained. The mind is still relatively quite heedless. So that one you need to train. To train the mind is very easy. You only need to develop the spiritual faculty. So if you had done your religious routine at home, it will be a lot easier when you come here. And the puja straight away can make you peaceful and calm. But for some, maybe you have not settled down into a proper religious routine. Religious routine means your daily duty towards the cultivation of the Dhamma. You have to maintain heedfulness or mindfulness throughout the day. So when you wake up, first thing, develop mindfulness, be aware of your posture. Then after that, immediately be aware of how you come out of your bed and do whatever things that you need to do. You need to answer nature's call, you mindfully develop the mindfulness to be aware of how you arise, how you move, and how you actually walk towards your washroom, and how your hand open the doorknob, push it, then how you go in and develop all this movement for you to answer nature's call, and how you feel as you do it. All these are part and parcel of mindfulness cultivation. Then after that, you want to brush your teeth or wash yourself, you can do so. Or otherwise, you can straight away come out. You can do some meditation. You can pay homage. Then you develop the meditation. If you need to radiate metta, you can radiate metta. Then after that, you just train your mind to be mindful. Develop the meditation. If you need to chant, you chant Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Then you take refuge, renew your precepts. All this will train you to develop the spiritual faculty to overcome the hindrance of mind. Then after that, you need to train your mind. You do your mind sweeping method combined with metta, loving kindness. That will bring about inner peace and inner well-being. Then it will bring about the training of the mind to be aware. Then you use anapanasati to stabilize it. Then after that, you will experience all the calm state of piti, sukha, and pasati. Then when you already train, stabilize, meditation become easy. So this is what you need to do. So I repeat, this is because these are recorded so easy. So now I will leave it to you to meditate. So you can proceed with your meditation. Then today you can have half an hour of good sitting. Okay, you can start your meditation now. others still want to meditate, you can continue. For those open up slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Try to bring forth this trained mind, this meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness with awareness for you to develop the meditation in daily life. We call it the daily mindfulness. You can stabilize your mind, train it until it's very peaceful, very calm, silent and aware within. Then stabilize it with anapana sati and use it to cultivate heedfulness. That is what you need to do. Heedfulness got two parts, as I always explain. The first part is to be mindful. Ever mindful. Then when you have the mindfulness already, if you use it to cultivate wisdom, leading to enlightenment, especially the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation, you combine these two, it becomes a paramita or heedfulness. So when you diligently cultivate heedfulness, the Buddha under Dhammapada verse 21 guarantee that you will never die. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die means you are destined for enlightenment. That's why before the Buddha passed away, he reminded all the monks and those who followed him. He said, Apamadena Sampadeta, meaning strive on with heedfulness. Do not be heedless anymore, for the heedless are as if dead, according to the Buddha. Spiritually, you are as if dead. So without heedfulness, there is no way you can walk the spiritual path to develop the wisdom to become enlightened. So that shows the importance of heedfulness. That's why for us who understand, we come here to train our mind to develop this quality of mind that we call heedfulness. And to be heedful, you must have the spiritual faculties to overcome the hindrance of mind. Then the third spiritual faculty, which is sati, mindfulness, need to be stabilized. Once you stabilize this mindfulness or this sati, you become heedful automatically. Because the one who is aware is just silent without thought. But to live life, we need to arise thought. That's why we need to develop two types of mindfulness. One is the general spacious awareness, which is the normal mindfulness, especially when you are in the form of meditation. Then the other one is the more specific phenomenal mindfulness. Means you direct that mindfulness to specific phenomena that you want to be aware, that you want to anchor your mind to, just like anapanasati, or any of the phenomenal world, or any of your physical activity or movement, or any of your mental movement or flow. Then you have the last one is nature's phenomena, nature's flow. So the three commonly distinguished type of phenomena are physical, mental, and nature's phenomena. So these three, you will encounter them almost throughout the day. So when you understand, mindfulness can be developed easily. Then the Buddha talked about the four foundations of mindfulness. After you have developed mindfulness, after you have stabilized it, you have to anchor your mindfulness to these four foundations. The first foundation, as we all know, is what? What is the first foundation? What is the first foundation of mindfulness? Kaya nupasana. Kaya is physical body, yeah? Form, your kaya. So mindfulness on your bodily activity and movement. That's why anapanasati is one aspect of kaya anupassana. Then mindfulness of the four posture of your movement is also kaya anupassana. Then daily mindfulness, mindfulness of all the action and movement in the present moment is also kaya anupassana. Then mindfulness of the four elements within this form, kaya, is also kaya anupassana. Then mindfulness of the 32 parts of this body is also kaya. Then you also have the 9 stages of cemetery contemplation, leading to the insight and the wisdom. So all these are kaya anupassana. Then after that, you move on to the second foundation. Actually, the first foundation, you have to understand. The main purpose of the first foundation is to anchor your mind to your kaya, so that it's always with it, synchronized, one with the kaya, and your bodily movement and activity is always in the moment. So when you are mindful of kaya, when you develop kaya anupassana, you actually anchor your mind to be with your body. So your mind will always be with the present moment without thought. It is just aware, one with the kaya. Okay? So this will slow down your heedless thinking, decondition your heedless thinking, so that you are most of the time aware, heedful. Yeah? So that is the main purpose of kaya. That's why the first cultivation is anapanasati, to stabilize mindfulness. Then when you are skillful already, you would have been more mindful. Then you can cultivate heedfulness to go into the second foundation. And second foundation is the basis of all cultivation, because as a human being, you have a physical body. You have your senses, the 5 physical senses. Then upon contact of mind, the respective consciousness come to be. So you have your 5 physical consciousness, seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile. Then the last one is your thought consciousness. So the 6 type of respective consciousness, when they arise upon contact, there are also feelings that accompany them. So Vedana is one of the universal that is common within all consciousness. So that's a bit that I want you to train your mind to be ever mindful upon contact of mind with sense bases. And when consciousness is triggered off, you have to have the mindfulness to be aware of the feeling. Well, this feeling is very useful. This aggregate of mind is very important. When you don't have wisdom, when you have delusion, ignorance, and sakadity, your feeling cannot remain as pure feeling. Your feeling will be conditioned into what? What will happen to your feeling when you don't have wisdom? Conditioned into craving. That's why in the dependent origination, the 12 link or paticca-samuppada, you have this link upon contact, feeling arise. So we call it pasat paccaya vedana. Pasat is contact, vedana is feeling. Then after that, the next link is vedana paccaya what? Tanha. Tanha is craving. So you see, dependent on feeling, if there is no wisdom, if there is no yoniso manasikara at the moment of sense experience, tanha, craving, comes to be. Can follow, eh? Then after that, you will condition grasping, then becoming. And then you become that thing and you take birth. Then the whole mess of suffering comes to be. That's how you get entangled. That's how your mind get messed up. That's how you become afflicted, miserable. So that's why the Buddha defined under the first Noble Truth, he said, all of suffering you can summarize as the attachment or craving that arise when you deludedly grasp onto the five aggregate of form and mind, when you attach and cling to your form, physical form, external mental form, or when you attach and cling onto your feeling, through Sakkaya Ditti, self-delusion, suffering will arise. So all this is the reason why second foundation, Vedana Nupassana, is very important. You cannot be mindful of sense experience and mindful of the feeling at the moment of sense experience. You cannot deal with life. You cannot understand how you become conditioned into those mind states. How the evil root comes to be, how the hindrance comes to be, how they arise and condition you into negativity, and finally develop affliction and suffering. All this can be understood once your daily mindfulness falls into place, once your mindfulness is properly developed and stabilized. Means from Kaya you move to Vedana. Then when Vedana stabilizes, you move to the third foundation, which is Chitta Nupassana. Chitta is mind, actually. But the more specific word is content of consciousness. The Buddha wants you to develop mindfulness of the content of consciousness. It means not only the feeling inside there, all of the other content of consciousness. The perception aggregate, the Sankara aggregate. Sankara aggregate is the most powerful, and you have to understand what Sankara is. Otherwise, you cannot penetrate the Dhamma. Sankara is a very, 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 very wide word. It encompasses everything that your mind can do. It's Sankara. All of your mental intention is Sankara. All of your thinking, mental activity is Sankara. All of your mind state is Sankara. All of your mental formation within is Sankara. All of your views and opinion that you hold on to is all Sankara. That all of your planning, scheming, deceitfulness, they are all Sankara. So Sankara is a very, very wide topic. And if you want to develop the mindfulness of Chitta, which is the whole content of that consciousness, you need to understand what is Sankara. And then during your daily mindfulness, you will start to see how your mind manifests all those Sankara. Then why the Buddha said and constantly remind the monk, Sabbe Sankara Anicchang, all of Sankara is impermanent, the Buddha said. For they come and they go. And you have to see them in your meditation. Then how when you attach, grasp, and cling, or give meaning through delusion, suffering comes to be. So that's why the Buddha says, Sabbe Sankara Dukkang, leads to suffering. And then the final one is, Sabbe Dhamma Anatta, means not only Sankara is empty or non-self, all of Dhamma, Dhamma means everything that exists, the mundane and the supramundane, they are all covered under Dhamma. So these three foundations will set your mind to be developed, to be trained, so that it has a stable base to receive truth, to awaken and to become enlightened. That's why after the first three foundations, from Kaya you move to Vedana, then Chitta, you move on to the last foundation, which is Dhamma Nupassana. And Dhamma Nupassana is the last foundation because it is the Dhamma that will give you the insight and the wisdom to penetrate, to realize the truth, to insight into all the characteristics of nature. So when you go through Dhamma Nupassana, you will complete the training, accumulating into the Four Noble Truths. Then you understand clearly the secret of life, everything that you need to know. Of course, you start with the basic Dhamma. Mindfulness of the five mental hindrances. When you understand and see clearly how these mental hindrances come to be and how they cease and how in the future they will not arise anymore, and then you develop first type of wisdom. Then after that you move on to see your five aggregate of form and mind, mindfulness of this five aggregate of form and mind. See their characteristics, their impermanent, their suffering state and their non-self nature, so that Sakkaya Ditti can be severed, so that the self-delusion can cease to be, you can root it out. Then after that, you move on to the third category of training of Dhammanupassana. From the five hindrances, you develop the five aggregates of form and mind. Then you develop the training of the five or six internal sense bases and six external sense bases to understand clearly how you function as a human being, how consciousness comes to be, how your form and mind, actually as an entity, create all this dependent origination mind state. And you will see within this dependent origination all of the Buddha's teaching, the Four Noble Truths, the three evil roots, the five spiritual faculty, the five hindrances, then followed by the seven factors of enlightenment. Everything, you will see them clearly if you cultivate the mindfulness accordingly. Then finally, you accumulate to the last category of cultivation under Dhammanupassana, which is the four noble truths. Now this four noble truths, you do the three turning. Then you realize the three types of wisdom. Then you awaken. That's how enlightenment comes to be. Then after that, you come out and cultivate Noble Eightfold Path to perfect all of your Noble Path factor. Then you really, really, truly become enlightened. Then with the Noble Eightfold Path, you can realize the deathless state of Nibbana. And through that, no more suffering. Your mind liberated. You understand completely, very clearly, the secret of life. You know how to live. You know what suffering is. You know the cause of its arising. You know how it can cease. And you know the path that leads to that cessation. That's how you awaken and become enlightened. Okay? So that summarizes what you need to understand as a overall practice or cultivation. Okay, before we go into session 2, you got any question or not, regarding what I just explained? Is it clear? Or any one of you want to add something or just maybe develop better understanding, can ask any question that you are not clear. Oh, so quiet. Very shy, Okay, then we move on to session 2. Session 2 is meditation reporting, followed by question and answer. You can ask any question that you have in mind, preferably related to the meditation or the teaching, the Dhamma. Then of course how to apply all this Dhamma that you have developed and the meditation that you have cultivated to help you live life, to resolve all of the problems that you encounter in life, so that you know how to really, really make use of the Dhamma. Okay, open up to everybody. Anybody wants to report his or her meditation, you can raise your hand. Yes. Just pass on to her. For the recording, just push it out. Yeah, you can repeat. Just now, when you try to do the meditation, what happened?
I tried a metta meditation.
Okay.
I don't know whether I concentrate too hard or by sending, saying this metta, and I feel the pressure in me.
Oh, okay. Can you describe how you do it?
I was thinking of sending metta,
okay.
Thinking of, dwelling on all this metta. So it's like suddenly it is like a pressure on me, and I sweat. And
I know pressure on you happen where, at your head or what?
A head, body, whole body like that.
You become very tense.
Yeah. Then after that, I was thinking, hey, suddenly I realized that why is it that I'm so tense?
Okay.
Then I
then what happened after that?
And I observed my breath.
Okay.
Then slowly check my the body relaxation and I bring back again.
Okay.
So the whole night I was
then
like,
what happened?
Observing, keep on observing until the whole night is like what? No? It's like fighting.
Oh, okay.
I
so your question is what? Yeah. What is your question?
My question is that if I want to try to do the metta meditation,
okay.
How do I start? Like, maybe it's because I didn't really relax first.
That's why the keyword is relax body and mind,
yeah.
But you completely forgot.
Yeah.
And you forgot to actually write down what that transcript actually talk about. Now my is a very good question. I will explain, then you will understand. You see, meditation, that I always said, you need to do with understanding. Get this properly recorded in your mind. Off the thing is still on. Okay. Yes. Otherwise the disturbance will be there. You see, if you don't do with understanding, you can end up like what happened to her or to many of you. So meditation is about understanding. Means you understand what is it that you want to develop when you are here sitting in the name of meditation. Understand not? I want to meditate. I want to develop the training of the mind to be peaceful, to be aware. But how come she did until she become so tense, from her own words, so under pressure, sweating, like fighting whole night. This is what I mean by you don't do without understanding. You are here to meditate, to develop the training of the mind to be more peaceful, more calm and more relaxed and more aware, correct or not? But instead what happened? You are torturing yourself here because you dare not move. Then you don't know what is going on. You try to do metta, but the pressure comes, everything. Correct, correct. Very good. That's why I want to explain this so that people understand. Because it's recorded, it's very useful. And you are not the only person. In fact, I can tell you the truth. A lot of people who don't have the understanding of what is meditation will end up not only like what you do, worse than you also. I have heard a lot of reporting. Correct, because you know how to inquire why you end up like that. Just like I always say, you are not here to torture yourself, understand or not? You are here to train your mind to be heedful, correct or not? That is the first requirement. Without heedfulness, you cannot start. And once you train your mind to be heedful, after it's heedful, only the real meditation starts, understand not? So, if your mind is not heedful, what did I ask you to check? Just like your case, if it's still got so much of this thing going on, okay? Initially, why do you want to start metta straight away? You're supposed to relax body and mind and let things be. Then try to do the mind sweeping method to decondition your heedless thinking. Means you feel forehead, relax. Feel relax means you don't think. Then you won't end up like what happened to you. What you have done is you have visualized. Then you have used your thought too strongly. Like you say, you focus. You try to read it metta. Who is trying? The thought is trying. The thought is trying to visualize that person that you want to read it metta. First of all, before I go into the meditation, I want to resolve those who do metta one first. Huh? Metta bhavana is also a meditation, but because you want to cultivate metta, that's why it's called metta bhavana. Bhavana is meditation. So whatever meditation that leads to the training of mind to have metta is metta bhavana. So metta bhavana can be trained, yeah, in many ways. But there are three stages. Understand? Initially is verbalization. Understand? Like parroting. That one not effective. Understand? So the one that you do one is worse. You not only parroting. You not only may I be well and happy. Means parroting, you know, like a parrot repeat everything. Understand? But you don't understand the purpose and intent of that metta. You don't know how to read it. So what normally people do is they are taught to visualize. Understand? Visualize. Then they say, read it. Means you use your whatever verbalization and words. Then you will it there. Understand? But because you don't know how to do, you focus. Then you visualize. Then you force yourself to do it. Understand? Because you say, you try to radiate metta, and so on. Then you realize it's like very tense. Then everything, like the energy starts to build up. Then you feel like under stress. So you are not relaxed, you are not silent, and you are not peaceful. And you don't know how to radiate from your heart. You didn't use your understanding to develop this metta. The real metta that is taught by the Buddha under the Metta Bhavana, you go and read, is to actually develop this quality of mind that he called metta. So initially, they train you to reflect. Of course, initially it's through your thought. But it's not active thinking. It's just to reflect what is metta. So you churn up this metta through reciting the word metta. Metta, metta, understand? Then you recall to mind the great loving kindness of Lord Buddha, understand? Great loving kindness of Kuan Bodhisattva, or all those Bodhisattva and Buddhas who have complete loving kindness, metta. So you absorb them in, understand? Then you recall to mind all of metta is less like they always give you example. When you have love like your mother, they can go all out to sacrifice their love to protect their children, understand? To do whatever they want to do for the benefit of their children and all the things, or their loved one. So this metta is without selfishness, understand? It is the quality of mind that is unselfish and really wants to radiate its goodness and wholesomeness and well-being to others, especially to your loved ones. Then you know that this quality of metta, if you don't have metta, you cannot radiate metta. Karena? Karena? So how do you generate metta? That's why you must go and read the book that I give to you all. The first one, when I went to Klang, Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha, the first copy, inside there got Metta Bhavana. It's described there. So you go through, you follow that. If you don't have, you can collect a copy from here, I think. Sian has. Last time we printed quite a lot. Sian? That book, the email compilation. I think somewhere there. Where is it? Get it for me. I'll read to you. Get a copy for me. It's a A4 size. Underneath. The whole stack there. Yes. I read to you. So that you all know how to develop it. This one is under email 5, I think. Yes, email number 5. So I read to you, then you understand. This one was an email I wrote to one of the devotees, 8th of August 2006. I said, really nice to hear from you again. I'm really glad to know that you had developed the right understanding and self-confidence to cope with your present situation. Yes, you are right. One needs to be mentally very strong and calm to deal with such situation, and it's not easy for most people who normally lack understanding and support. But this lady has cancer. She was fighting very, very diligently, and she finally pulled through. Then I told her, how is your metta, is it, or loving kindness meditation, progressing? Are you able to do it? And did that sister pass you the 2 thin metta meditation book, plus this email compilation, is it, for a set copy? These are very good books and easy to understand, and I had used them before during the early days of my cultivation. Then I describe metta. You listen. You do like that, you sure breakthrough one. You sure develop it very well. I say, metta or loving kindness is best regarded as spiritual love or universal love. Metta, when properly cultivated and well developed, is a consuming flame that purifies all mental defilements. And the result is the acquisition of a tremendous healing nature or power, which brings about well-being and cure via the tremendous positive energy developed. Metta is also a very powerful meditation therapy with psychiatric applicability to greatly improve mental and physical health by overcoming one's fear, anxiety, worry, sorrow and lamentation, pain and unhappiness, etc. We are developing an atmosphere of love and happiness, leading to peace and tranquility of mind. The Buddha said the practice or cultivation of metta brings to perfection all of the good states of mind, beginning with giving or radiating metta, giving or charity, leading to well-being, happiness, and the fulfillment of the 10 perfection or virtues or called paramitas. It is an easy and simple way to develop tranquility or peace of mind, leading to wisdom and compassion, the ultimate goal of all spiritual development. I will describe to you the metta meditation as given in one of the 2 books. You listen. Sit down in a comfortable and relaxed posture, keeping your eyes closed in a quiet place, either a shrine, a room, a park, or any suitable place of silence. Then repeat the word metta, a few times, and mentally conjure up its significance. Then you reflect, you contemplate, you reflect. Love being the opposite of hatred, resentment, impatience, pride, arrogance, etc. And as a profound feeling of goodwill, sympathy and kindness, promoting the happiness and well-being of all. See, when you reflect and contemplate this way, then you realize when you want to develop metta, you must not have anger, you must not have hatred, resentment. All these are evil root, negative state. And then you start to understand what metta is. And then he said, metta is love, anasana. Then metta has this feeling, profound feeling of goodwill, sympathy, kindness, love, then promoting happiness and well-being. Now visualize your face in a happy and radiant mood. Every time you see your face in the mirror, see yourself in a happy and radiant mood and conjure yourself in this mood during meditation. A person in a happy mood cannot be unhappy and harbor any negative thought and feeling. Then having visualized yourself in a happy mood, now charge yourself with this thought. Then you radiate metta. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Then I put in bracket. Feel the well-being and happiness within your heart. Understand not? You have to feel it. When you say, may I, this body and mind, you have to feel your body and mind. Be well. Then you feel the well-being inside there, understand? And happy. And this feeling must manifest, understand? If you cannot manifest, there is no metta, understand? Yeah. Then after that, you continue. May I also be friendly and loving towards all, not harboring any more dislike, prejudice, or antipathy towards anyone, wishing everyone well and promoting everyone's well-being and will. Whomsoever I see, this one is very powerful. Every day you should recite. Whomsoever I see, may I see with the eyes of love. Cannot. Whomsoever I speak to, may I speak with the words of love and kindness. Whomsoever I think of, may I be imbued with the thought of love and kindness. In this way, as the meditator suffuses himself with the positive thought or force of love, or metta, he becomes like a filled vessel, is content, ready to overflow in all directions. Then after that, you can radiate metta. That's why metta, you must know how to develop it. Then after that, you can follow. I read to you so that you understand. Next, visualize your loved one. Well, after you radiate to yourself, you radiate to your loved one. See them in a happy frame of mind and project this thought of metta. May my loved ones to be well and happy, healthy and without enmity. May they all to be without ill will, and may they all to be untroubled. And may all to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. The thought force of metta, if properly radiated, can be very powerful. Then think of your other loved ones, like your teacher, your parents, your brothers and sisters, your friends, your colleagues, elders, etc. And radiate to each of them the thought of metta intensely in the manner described earlier. The visualization must be clear and the thought radiation must be willed well. Initially, it's like you will it. It must be noted that to think of metta is one thing, and to radiate metta is another thing. What you do is you think of metta, you never radiate metta. So that is actively projecting the will of force of metta from your heart is quite another. So when you radiate and you will, it's different again. No? You just radiate through the normal mind, understand? May I, this body and mind of mine, be well. You feel it, understand? But you didn't weed it out yet. Yeah, this is for yourself, understand? Then the second stage is, you weed it out. Means you read it. Yeah, there is metta in you. Then you wish, may my loved ones all to be well and happy. Then you visualize them. Then you will this metta to them, understand? And it has its power. Then later on, when your metta becomes so powerful, you are so skillful, you no need to will. The third stage is straight from the heart, it come out, understand? When you hold your hand like that, the metta come out already. So then when you smile and read it, your metta come out already. It's from your nature. Then there is this very soothing metta energy. You can feel that coming out from your heart. I sadhu you, I rejoice. That one really is true metta. And that one, all the non-human, they can feel. All the animal, they can feel. Yeah. Then you become very different that time. But don't hope to carry that state. You can only do it when you are in that frame of mind. I remember during the early days of my cultivation, my metta, it was so strong. And I can radiate and will. Then later on, direct from the heart, no need to will. I was full of love, metta, the joy. That mind state is very different. Then I remember I tested it, I tried. I just direct. And I can feel, this metta has been felt by everything. Then later on, there were animals, dogs and all those things. Then non-human, Then later on, I tried with human being. First one was I remember I was walking. Then I saw somebody coming in front. Then I just read it. Understand? Then from my nature, it just go. Very funny, you know? That person for no reason will look at me. Then because I smile, he or she also will smile. You know? Then after that, I say maybe direct contact possible. Sometimes maybe also chance. So I tried one. I walk behind. I saw that one in front. Then I read it. You know what happened? That lady turned around and smiled to me. Then I smiled back. That metta was so strong. She was so full of joy. She asked me, who are you? Is it? How come I can turn around and just like that? I just smile. I said, you must have felt something. You are not so lost in thought, I say. That's why you can feel. Otherwise, totally cannot. If you are heedless, you can. You know why animals can respond? They got very little thinking. Human beings think a lot. When you are heedless, no matter what type of metal, so you cannot feel. You are so sorrowful inside. So unhappy, so restless, and so troubled. So how can you feel? You have to have silent mind to be sensitive. When you are silent, you are very sensitive. You can feel a lot of things. So metta is like that, asana. It's very simple, but you need to train. I read on, then you will understand. Just develop this metta bhavana first until the positive metta force is very strongly felt within you. And when you can really feel the rather soothing and positive metta force flowing out from your heart, then you will feel very, very good. And your bodily cell will recuperate much faster to help bring about a speedier recovery. Actually, during that time, the positive metta energy, they actually build up your immune system. Understand? That's why that positive metta is a healing force. And after that, you will recover. That's why those who have disease, cancer, or whatever, metta is very useful. Then I say, bye, and may you and your family members be well and happy always. And may the blessing of the Triple Gem be always with you. So this is how she actually pulled through from very severe terminal cancer, breast cancer. So if you do it correctly, it is very powerful. Understand? So coming back to meditation, well, that one is you want to do metta, I have to explain it. But when you are clear about what you are doing in the name of meditation, you don't simply go and do metta. If you are heedless, if your hindrance are there, you develop spiritual faculty. That you need to train your mind to decondition the heedless thinking, to develop the silence, the peace, and the sati or mindfulness. Then you do the mind sweeping method. That's why when you do the mind sweep, you just aware, feel, relax, no more thinking. Then you move that calm mind down, feel again, eye muscle, relax. Then facial muscle. Every time you feel, you stop the heedless thinking. The momentum stop. Then you become more peaceful, more peaceful, more peaceful. If you do it properly, you become beautiful. Then your mind become very quiet. Then you will realize a sudden calm, sudden peace within. Then you realize, how come now the mind is so different? No more when you just come in very agitated. There a lot of thought, a lot of activity, a lot of heedless thinking. The reason being, you didn't have this ability to make yourself heedful. To develop the peaceful mind, the calm mind, the heedful mind, you are seldom aware most of the time throughout the day. Your hindrance are very strong. That's why your like and dislike throughout the day when you experience something through your senses. You oscillate between like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant feeling, and your thought very fast. Understand? Until it becomes so habitual. that any small thing you get irritated, unhappy, or fearful. That any phone call come, you also panic. People expect good news. You expect or you fear bad news. So when you don't have this nature, when you don't have faith in your karma, that's why you are more prone to suffering, to bad news, to conditions that are not so conducive for the holy life, the spiritual life. So all this you will come to understand as you cultivate. Then you will have the clear understanding later on through your right view that the law of karma is very powerful. If you don't take care of karma, your life will be miserable. Then you will know what to do. You will no longer be heedless anymore, no longer be deluded anymore. Then you will commit yourself never to be heedless again. You want to change your life. You want to straighten everything. You want to clear all of the mess that you have actually created. So the moment you have that understanding, your nature shine forth, you become beautiful. Then you diligently cultivate. Then there is no turning back. Understand? It's like when you determine to be successful in whatever you want to do, you just work towards it. That's it. No more of this wrong thought or unwholesome thought. The fear, the worry, the anxiety. Yeah, this thought every time come and disturb you. And so, are you sure you can? You think you can or not? This one is not easy, the thought will tell you. You like that, you think you can. People, like monk, 24 hours also cannot. What you think you can. This thought keep on coming and create all this wrong thought in you and deter you or develop the lack of faith in you. Otherwise, it will trigger off fear. You somehow want to sit, you may end up crippled. or your leg may get into big trouble. That's thought suddenly like that, you panic, you then not serious. Then all sorts of thought will come. You're this one also not done, that one also not done. You got time to meditate. What about your financial problem? Then the next thought come. What about your duty and all this thing? Then all sorts of thought will come. Then finally you become so frustrated down there. Then you didn't ask yourself, you are here to meditate, to train your mind to be peaceful. End up, what are you doing? Creating all the suffering inside you. Getting yourself all entangled up through what? Through the thought. Through the heedless thinking. Then just like just now, our sister, she didn't understand what metta was and how to develop and how to cultivate. That's why you become gullible. You think you know, you follow instruction like people say, you visualize, you focus, and you do all those things, but you never go and find out the real metta that the Buddha teach. That's why you must spend some time going to the sutta and the sadhana. Then go into the internet to check what is actually taught. You don't be gullible, understand? Then you try it out. Which are the one that is conducive for you, suitable for you, understand? And then through your own investigation, you learn. And how do you develop the wisdom? You need to investigate into everything. Don't believe, understand? That's why investigation is very, very important. The second enlightenment factor that the Buddha spoke of is what is it? Dhamma Vichaya means investigate into the Dhamma that the Buddha spoke. To do that, you need sati, anasana, mindfulness. That's why the first factor of enlightenment is sati. So I write it down so that you understand, so that this can become clear. The Buddha talked about the seven factors of enlightenment. There are seven factors that can bring about enlightenment. The first one is what? Sati. Sati is what? We slowly go into it, so that you understand. The first factor of enlightenment is sati. Sati is mindfulness. Okay? Agreed? And mindfulness is what? Awareness before the knowing. You better get it clear. Awareness before the knowing. Means when you're silent, understand? When your mind is silent, the knowing means silent mind. Can follow or not? The moment you are silent, you aware already, right? Correct or not? Correct or not? When you don't talk, you already aware. But when you try to be mindful, you are dead. Who is trying to be mindful? The thought is trying to be mindful. And the mind trying to be aware. Means what? Try to arise the thought. How can it be aware? That's why there are two types of awareness. First one is what? Spacious. Awareness. This one is just a general. Awareness. So general. Spacious awareness. This one, when your mind is silent, this awareness will come out. Understand? It's just like when you just silent, relax. No thought. That is a general spacious awareness. Means what? That nature is fully aware, one with everything. Understand? That any of the contact from your mind upon the sense basis, that consciousness that is triggered because your form and mind is connected to this nature, understand? It will be aware, understand? That's why this is a general spacious awareness. Then you can become aware of anything that arises if you want to. Then if you want to know, then you can arise the perception. Then if you want to continue to develop understanding, then you can reflect, contemplate. But human beings don't do that. Human beings thought-based. They never aware. Understand? Straight away they perceive, then the memory come out, then views and opinion react. Understand? That's why you are hardly aware. Understand? You are heedless. Then the other one is when you want to live life, you move into the second type of awareness. What is the second one? Specific phenomenal awareness. Understand not? Phenomenal awareness. Means you develop specific awareness of whatever that comes by. Phenomena, there are three types. You know what is a phenomena? What is a phenomena? What is a phenomena? What is a phenomenon? Anything that your mind can perceive is a phenomenon. Understand? Need me to write? No need. Anything that your mind can perceive is a phenomenon. Understand? Anything perceivable by your mind is a phenomenon. So what are the usual phenomena that you come to experience? Mental phenomena, Yeah, this one is very common. Then? Physical or bodily. Physical or bodily. Phenomena. Last one is what? Nature's phenomena. Everything that is not covered above is covered here. So, you see, a lot of people don't understand. They say a phenomena is supposed to be a movement. Correct or not? Any movement is a phenomenon, isn't it? But by that definition, then whatever you perceive is not a phenomenon. No? Understand? Well, when you perceive something, that thing didn't move. Understand? So where is the phenomenon? The phenomenon is a perception. Understand? The arising of that thought. Understand? That is the mental phenomenon. Understand? People don't see that. Then this mental phenomenon like flow. Understand? Can follow that? because it start to perceive that it think, understand? Then sankara sanya, understand? You know what is sanya? Sanya is perception. Then sankara is thinking, understand? So when you perceive, that thing become the mental object, understand? You understand? The Mahayana always talk about this. Eh? They call it the seven consciousness. You know what is the seven consciousness? Yeah? This is your sankara actually. Seven consciousness. Because your mind. Eh? Oh, sorry. Miss all here. Sankara. Never mind. Eh? You see, the Mahayana got eight type of consciousness. Yeah, you heard of the eight type of consciousness, right? Yeah. Actually, it's just the five aggregate of form and mind. But they make it as if Theravada only got five. Six, I say. We got eight. But actually, it's the same. You know, what is the first five? What is the first five? Yeah? You have your senses, isn't it? So the first five consciousness is seeing consciousness. Hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile consciousness. And this one can follow. So the five basic senses create five types of basic consciousness. Five types of basic consciousness. Okay, this one is related to the five senses. Then the sixth one is what? Huh? The sixth one is what? Mind. Because everything need mind to arise, understand? So this mind is sanya, understand? Perception. That's why every time you think or you perceive, what happens? You make contact with the mind there. So the mind is like organ. Upon contact, consciousness comes to be, isn't it? So when it comes to the seventh type of consciousness, your mind is the organ. Correct? Right? Mind is organ. Yeah? Where is your object? Sense data. Where is your sense data? Your sense data is perception. Understand? This one brings the external form into the mind. Understand? Understand? That's why every time you perceive within your mind, you create this, what they call, mental form. Understand? That's why this is the one that brings in the mental form into the mind. Understand? So this mental form enters the mind. Understand? So this one, the mind is the organ plus perception or sanya, trigger of what? Upon contact. Of course there is a contact. Because when you perceive something, this one become the sense data. Understand? Understand? So they always say the sixth consciousness becomes the form for this organ, what they call mind, to trigger off the eighth consciousness. This eighth consciousness, there is a slight different explanation in the Mahayana. Understand? Actually, this eighth consciousness is just your mind consciousness. Understand? Understand? So six together with sanya, seven, then this one is vinyanang, understand? This one is vinyanang, consciousness. Sankara, seven is sankara. That thinking part, understand? So this one become what they call the perception becomes the sense data. This one becomes the organ, understand? This is like the organ, understand? Then it trigger off mental consciousness, understand? The eighth consciousness is the mental consciousness, as vinyanang is the mental consciousness. You remember your dependent origination, huh? Avijja Paccaya? Huh? Sankara. What is Sankara? Sankara is this fellow. Then what happened? Sankara Paccaya? Vijnana. This is the one. Because when you have mental activity, what happened? You perceive. You call thinking, but actually you perceive. Then you allow the sankara, that thinking part is the sankara, mental activity. The true memory start to think, start to create activity, feeling, mental states, intention. Everything is sankara. So upon contact, the perception, which is inside the mind as an aggregate, give the what they call mind, the necessary object, understand or not? That's why the sense data is inside here. That's why when you think, there is contact, understand or not? Can follow or not? When you think, there is contact, understand or not? Because the mind think, understand or not? Every time it think, it perceive, it create contact with the organ, understand or not? Then what happens? It trigger consciousness, like the physics experiment, understand or not? Can follow na? So this one upon contact, this light bulb lights up. This one is like organ. This contact is when you think, the activity, understand? Then the consciousness is the lighting up, understand? So the seven consciousness and the eight consciousness actually is interconnected. Then what happened is, after you think, that time, pure consciousness. The Buddha said, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness. This is the pure consciousness, understand? There is no content yet. That's why this one is just consciousness, vijnanam, understand? But the moment you put in the content, become what? Nama rupa, understand? This is the five aggregate, mental aggregate. Five mental aggregate. Can follow that? This one can follow that. Nama rupa. Can follow that. Avijja paccaya sankara, sankara paccaya vijnanam, vijnanam paccaya nama rupa. The traditional explanation is what? Dependent on ignorance, from past life. What happened? Sankara, they say, is karmic volition. Understand not? Correct not? Because of karmic volition, there is karma, then rebirth consciousness, vijnanam. That's how they explain it. Then, form and mind, human being, come about. Correct not? So this one, they call it the first aspect, the human being, understand not? Born already. Then I explain to you, if dependent origination only occur one time over three period of time, what for? Useful or not? It has to be every moment, every instant. But they cannot explain this because they got no other way to explain. Understand not? Well, they cannot understand that mind is an organ. Understand not? And they never see it in the meditation. That's why when I look at it, I say, it's not like that. It can be explained. Dependent on ignorance, because ignorant of what? Ignorant of the truth. Ignorant of the Dhamma, understand? So what do you do? When you don't understand what you do, one thing to know, one thing to understand, you think, isn't it? Correct? The moment you think, you make contact with the mind, correct? So upon contact, consciousness come to be, understand? It lights up. That's why the Buddha said, the seeing, it's only the seeing consciousness. When you perceive something through your perception, you arise the sense data and the mind become conscious of it. That's why seeing consciousness come to be. Understand? This part is your consciousness. Understand? The content not in yet. Understand? In Malay, they call belum masuk. Understand? So upon contact, consciousness come to be. Understand? Then you very fast through your delusion, you input the content of consciousness, your views, your opinion, your mental intention, everything go in. Understand? Then this Namarupa come to be. But for Namarupa to arise, you need to have sense bases. Understand? Without sense bases, it cannot arise. Even mind is also one of the sense bases. Understand? So that's why this one is not really subject to mind alone. Your perception, sankhara, can also happen in your seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, understand? And mental. That's why this dependent origination flow very fast. That's why dependent on form and mind, namarupa, salayatana, has to be there. Understand? So all this, you understand, then very fast, you will understand this eight consciousness. But the Mahayana expanded this further. They call this alaya consciousness. You heard of it? Yeah? Alaya. Alaya consciousness. They say this one is a store consciousness. It store all of your coming. Good and bad. Everything stored there. Actually, it's not like that. That karmic nature is the karmic nature. Understand? This one is the vinyanang. Understand? But they talk about the tipasu. Understand? The alaya. Will they create another alaya consciousness? Because they need to explain alaya. Because alaya is the false nature, understand? Not your true nature. That's why those who cling on to alaya consciousness get into trouble, understand? They call it alaya. You heard about this? So, Sister Lian want to know. Yeah, the Mandarin word, the pronunciation very funny. Alaya, like yeah, yeah, like that. Low yeah, ah yeah. You don't know Cantonese? Oh, no wonder she shake her head. That's not. It is not actually the meaning, but because you pronounce it, alaya. But once you talk about alaya consciousness, they know you already get caught. That's not. Like you already in Holland. Well, this one is the one that create the phenomenal world. This one is the magician. The Buddha called it the magician. Remember? Well, the five aggregate of form and mind, they have analogy for it. Okay. So this one I finish. I have to come back. Otherwise, I cannot finish the seven factor enlightenment. So, rub. Don't need to rub. After you want to take photo. Okay, second factor of enlightenment is what? After you know what is sati already, specific phenomenal awareness is when you want to develop the four foundation. Asana. The first one is kaya. Kaya is physical phenomena. Asana. Then feeling is mental phenomena. Asana. Chitta is also mental phenomena. Then all of nature's phenomena includes whatever balance that is not there. Asana. You know what is nature's phenomena? Yeah. Every moment of perception of nature, there is a phenomenon. But sometimes it's a moving phenomenon, understand? Like the car, move. So specific phenomenal awareness is your awareness and that movement is one, understand? And the car is one. Then when you see the leaf under the, what they call influence of wind, there is a flow, understand? There is the physical flow. So when you just silent, what happened? The mind, awareness and the thing is one. It's like you are with the thing. It's like the Cha Kway Teow guy. Like my mind, my nature is inside him. Fully aware of his action and movement. This is Kaya Nupasana internally, externally. It can be done. That's why people don't understand. Yeah. Then after that, you got all the various type of nature's phenomena, sound, vibration. Like when we are at this Cameron Island, when we silence our mind to reflect and to contemplate what happened, you can feel the energy around, correct? Then you can feel the breeze, the weather, the flora, everything. And everything that comes within your sight, within your hearing, within your senses, you can be aware. Then when you completely silent, you can take in everything. It's like your nature is one with everything. That's why it can feel the breeze, the energy, the whatever that is around. that mind has this ability to be one with it. Understand not? The insect sound, yeah? The birds chirping, the running stream, Fengling and all those things. Now they recall. Yeah, last time, they didn't even know that there is Fengling after the retreat over. Then somebody pointed out, oh yeah, I got Fengling. Means what? All the while, meditate without knowing. Trapped inside the mental world of their own. Even like this clock. You know it's ticking how loud. No? It's so loud. No? No, new battery also say earlier on. Every time I just silent. Oh, so loud. No? Oh, very loud. That's why you can hear. Yeah, the best one. That one give you timing. No more thought. Sure, you aware because you aware of this ticking. When you aware of this ticking, you don't make mistake like other people. No? Hey, I supposed to meditate. No? What am I doing? That is meditation, you don't know. When you are aware of that thinking, there is no thought, understand? It's just the awareness of it, the mind with that phenomena. What is that phenomena? Vibration, understand? So you can be aware of anything. So specific phenomena awareness is what you cultivate in your daily life, understand? Now, then when you have the stability already, you can silence. That one, formal meditation, that one can bring you to realize the enlightenment and all the same. Then after you have sati, it's only when you have sati, when your mind can be silent and aware, then you can get the second enlightenment factor. The Buddha called it Dhamma Vichaya. What is Dhamma Vichaya? Yeah? Dhamma investigation. Asana. Dhamma investigation. Means you investigate into Dhamma. How do you investigate? Yeah? You don't do anything. No. When you arise the thought, you cannot investigate. When you interfere with what you become aware of, you cannot investigate. Understand? No? You are busy commenting, judging, understand? No? Reacting. Understand? No? Wrong lah, not like that one lah. Understand? No? Then you feel, oh, you, how come so painful? This is not investigation anymore. This is chattering. This is lost in thought, heedlessly thinking. When you silent without word, you aware of that phenomena, even your feeling or whatever, your so-called pain, or so-called piti, sukha, you can silence your mind and investigate. Then you realize it's coming and going, the condition arising. They call it mental formation. Then you can see how it come and how it go. How you understand anger is not you, fear is not you, emotion is not you. All those feelings that come and go, they are never you. You only can investigate through silence, without word, without thought, without any labeling. You have to try that. I tell you, most meditators, even they have done meditation for 20, 30 years, they hardly investigate into this. Means they never do Dhamma Vichaya. Understand? Then when you do Dhamma Vichaya, what happens? When your investigation becomes so powerful, so stable, then you realize that everything that the Buddha spoke or proclaimed, they are the truth. They are so beautiful. Means it stands up to investigation. So what happened? You have a lot of joy in here. All along like that, never see. And that's all. So stupid, some more argue, some more think you're so smart. Oh, every day go and compare. And that's all. Use your intellect, use your knowledge. Oh, and say, maybe Buddha wrong. Where got like that one? Must be like that. But when you really investigate with the silent mind, then you realize everything not only correct, no, perfect. No. Then you have what they call faith. Your faith very strong, correct? Or not? When your faith very strong, the second spiritual faculty is what? Sada litu virya. Virya is the third enlightenment factor. Understand? Or? Virya. Then when there is virya, piti. Understand? Spiritual joy. Actually, after you investigate, when your faith is there, you have a lot of joy already. Understand? Or? So this pity can arise already, understand? Spiritual joy. Then it will drive you to cultivate, understand not? So this is a spiritual zeal. Understand not? Then if you're not careful, sukha will come in, understand not? Because when this piti become more and more refined, when you are more and more silent, more and more calm, it becomes sukha. But sukha is not enlightenment factor, no. That's why the Buddha never put it there, no. The Buddha said the fifth one is what? Pasati is what? Tranquility or stillness of mind, understand? Tranquility or stillness of mind. Of mind. This is the one. We always call it the silent mind, understand? I always call this the silent mind. And this is the silent mind. This is the mind that is in sati, understand? Understand? That's why finally when you meditate until piti sukha all over already, then like no more movement. Breathing also become very subtle. Even your rising, falling also like you cannot feel. Everything becomes so subtle. That is the mind. I think this one is spelling wrong. You go and check the spelling. P-A-S-S. Oh, pasati. P-A-S-S. So, what happens is when you are in pasati, your mind becomes so still, so tranquil, completely silent. Like no more movement. That is the mind that is already in sati. That one connect you to your nature already. But you don't know. You panic. You thought you dead. How come no thought? Because you cannot live without thought. You panic. Then they tell you, go and do what? Sitting, touching. You go and arise the thought again. Then how can you develop sati? This one is to bring your mind into sati. And when you have this pasati, I tell you, this is the most beautiful meditation that you have done. When you can progress to this, you very fast become enlightened, I tell you. Because when you have pasati, your mind is in sati, anasana. Then anywhere you place your mind is very sensitive, it's very aware. That's how you can feel your heartbeat. You can feel all the vibration within your being, anasana. Every part of it. Then later on, you stabilize this. You come out into daily mindfulness. And you can also develop pasati in daily life. You know what happened to you? I always tell you one last time. What happened to you? Every moment of awareness, everything you see is like a flow. Your mind is already in sati. Everything you hear is like a flow. Then everything you smell, taste, tactile, feel, or pain, everything become like a flow, like slow motion like that. The mind is in sati, understand? During this time, when your sati becomes so stable, it will accumulate into samadhi. And you know what is samadhi or not? Samadhi is the collected mind that is unwavering. But this one is fully aware one, understand? Asana. So this samadhi is the sixth enlightenment factor. So when you have samadhi, your mind is collected and unwavering. Unwavering. So what happened? Unwavering means at the moment of sense experience. Next time when you see something, hear something, or think of something, your mind doesn't waver anymore. Asana. When it doesn't waver, means what? You can see things as they are. Isn't it? Clear or not? Means it cannot stir. Understand? The views and opinion cannot come in. Understand? Or your mental conditioning cannot come in and disturb you. Then you can see things as they are with a silent mind. Understand? This is how you insight into phenomena. This is how you awaken without thought. Understand? And then when wisdom come to be, that's why with sati and samadhi, panya come to be, understand? The five spiritual faculty. And when panya come to be, this is the one that make your mind equanimity. Remember? Upeka. This is the seventh factor of enlightenment. Upeka. Upeka is equanimity. Okay? This is the one born of wisdom. This is the real one. The one through apana samadhi one is a conditioned one. Understand? Not the real one. That one cannot liberate one. That one only suppress the hindrance. Understand? Because it's energy field, conditioned state. It prevents the hindrance from arising. Understand? So this explains to you clearly, yeah, what the seven factors of enlightenment are. So when your mind has this throughout the day, you are destined for enlightenment. Correct or not? All the enlightenment factors are there. How can you not enlighten? But the trouble is, end of the day, there is no one to be enlightened. And that is the beauty. And when you realize that, that form of mind really enlightened. Because it's that wisdom behind that responsible for enlightenment. But that form of mind is not you, understand or not? Karmically conditioned out. This form of mind, this segmented life that I come with, is not me, understand or not? But every life this nature is being born, there are so many segments, or billions of them. Now, which one is you? Understand or not? None of them are you. If you say they are you, then you go to hell, you become animal, that one you are, that dog. You are. You sure say, cannot be. Or Deva, maybe. Oh, I was the Deva at that time. Oh, or I was the Brahma at that time. But all these are form and mind, that segmented life. Understand not? Consciousness. Understand not? Oh, we still got 1-2 minutes. Huh? Not bad. At first I thought I got not enough time. Yeah. So this one clear or not? This one now is very clear. Right? Yeah? Now you can understand it. Right? During the early day, I think most of you, Mung Cha Cha, I spoke of this many, many times already, you know. But it's okay, because it's not easy to understand. Yeah? But every time you hear it, because your base has already improved, you actually become clearer. Your wisdom starts to stabilize. Yeah? And you better take photo after this. Okay. Anyway, more question. Yeah? 1 more minute. Yes. The mic, yes.
Why the Mahayana people, they have this stored consciousness? Because they are so, you know, those masters that have been cultivating for so long, and yet they still have this.
No, you see, it comes about because Mahayana like to expand things, understand? They like to expand things and make it look like great, understand? That's why the word Maha. Maha is the great vehicle, understand? Hinayana is the small vehicle, understand? So they have Abhidhamma, everything as well. Then they have all the sutta that Theravada don't have. But sometimes, when you come up with too many of these, it complicates things, understand? But when you go the Bodhisattva way, then you start to see the relevance. Because you need to understand these two nature. The way I like to explain it is easier. Maybe next topic. Huh? Next Thursday, remind me to explain this. Who you are, what you are, how you come. That one you like or not? You see, God, briefing 30 minutes. After that, go 1.5 hours. No need to meditate. You got two nature, understand? Roughly, yeah? You have your spiritual nature, where you cultivate all your perfection. But to come to this universe, you need to have another nature. We call it the karmic nature. Our karmic nature, the Mahayana call this alaya consciousness, understand? Because it's the summation of all the karma that you do, understand not? But this karmic nature is not a consciousness, understand not? It's not something that is stored as a storehouse. The storing is recorded through nature's law, understand not? Nature's law already do that, understand not? So it's not a storehouse where you can go and see the consciousness. It's not that these eight consciousness, when they arise, all the alaya consciousness is there, understand not? But because Mahayana got this very, very deep teaching, the one that finally realized the enlightenment and connect back to the source, they realize that there is a what they call a singularity. You heard of this word, singularity. Yeah? Everything arises from the singularity, from one point. So they like to use this analogy, and it's alaya consciousness. That consciousness actually represents the whole alaya consciousness. Understand? But when you can understand that, go back to the source, and then it got meaning. Understand? That's why the Maya Sutta is all for the enlightened one. Understand? And you don't try to understand them when you're not enlightened. Otherwise, you are confusing yourself. Understand? So that's why for me, I want to make it simple, that you can relate to the Buddha's teaching. Actually, Mahayana is sufficient. Sorry. Theravada is sufficient. If you understand the true, original Theravada teaching of Sakyamuni, very precise and very simple and very clear. Yeah. Their word anatta actually cover all of the sunyata in Mahayana. All the emptiness, form is empty, everything is empty. Like very powerful type of Dhamma and Sutta, like Heart Sutta. But actually, it's from the word anatta. Anatta is not only non-self. No? The deep meaning is empty nature, no? Not a permanent unchanging entity. Yeah. And all of emptiness is anatta. That's why all of sunyata and whatever, yeah, they actually is anatta. Mm. That's why the Buddha says, sabbe dhamma anatta. All of dhamma, whether conditioned or unconditioned, whether it's mundane or supramundane, there is no atta. That's why no one to be enlightened. That nature is not a person. No, it's not a person who can become enlightened. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can say, this is me, this is I. Okay, we have to stop. Extra 5 minutes. Okay, yeah, you all can rejoice us. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, so next Thursday, remind me. Otherwise, I cannot remember. Because that part is like explaining to you who you are, what you are, and the secret of life. Actually, that one very interesting. Finally, when you understand, that is the last thing that you need to understand. And when you understand that, the whole jigsaw puzzle is resolved. Then you know why you are here and who is it that is living life. What is that form and mind? What is that fire aggregate? What is that namarupa? And who are you? What are you? All this you can understand. Maybe not fully, but at least intellectually first. Then later on, develop some better understanding through your meditation. And then one day when you penetrate, when you realize, everything will stand out and it become very clear to you. Then you really, really laugh that time, I tell you. And you can come and ask me to drink Chinese tea with you. And then we can talk, then you can laugh. Okay, sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata ca pumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakan tu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, we invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hitu ca fito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be virtuous or righteous. Sharing of, making our aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of this marriage that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha.
Brothers and sisters, those who are going to Ajahn Acharya's retreat, the forms are with Stephanie, so you can get the forms from her and fill it up. All the instructions are right there. If you have any question, you can ask me later, or ask Stephanie, or even Sui An for the matter. And give me 1 second, I'd like to just share this with you. This is the Kuan Yin Bodhisattva that we, all our kilometers donated and contributed in July 2013. We had it done in Putian in China sometime a couple of months back, and it was only ready in before Chinese New Year. It was in Port Klang since February, late February. We only managed to send it by road, inland, through a truck to Anandagiri today, late morning, and installed in the afternoon. And this is the outcome of it. Yeah. So can we all sadhu together? Yeah. And thanks to all the kalamitas who have contributed to this. Yeah. And also, it's not really completed. The platform is not finished yet. And some of them have also contributed to the Maitreya, which is coming from Nepal soon. Yeah. In fact, Kuan Yin is arrived faster than Maitreya for some reason, because actually Maitreya is already on the way. But somehow, Kuan Yin decided that he wants to be there on the 8th of the 4th month, which is actually in some East Asian countries. It is actually Gautama's, the Buddha's birthday, actually, today. Yeah. Okay. Sadhu. And thank you for giving me this opportunity and to be involved in this project. Thank you very much.
Also, happy Vesak. Huh? A lot of you all will be busy helping out and developing a lot of wholesomeness. I wish you all a very good Vesak coming. Vesak. Sadhu.